Chapter 3. The Lord of the Wood.
Legrand drained his wine glass and looked at Kale, who had barely touched his dinner. "You've been very quiet, brother," Legrand said. "You all right?"
"I'm fine," Kale replied, not looking up. He had dreamed of Eleanor Gravis again last night.
Then Jorski said, "I want you to know, Kale, that I've written a letter to Cologne about your heroism 2 nights ago."
"Thank you, brother," Kale said, choking back a wave of nausea.
"Brother Jorski, a few nights ago you mentioned pagan rituals in the forest," Legrand said. "Could you elaborate on these practices?"
Jorski looked startled and glanced nervously at Munt, who was seated at the head of the table. "I don't know that much about these rituals," answered Jorski. "Brother Munt has more experience in that area."
"Thank you, brother," replied Munt, who looked less than pleased. "The rituals you refer to, Legrand, practiced by many of the heathens. We tried to convert some of them. A local witch coven led many of these ceremonies. We burned 3 of these hags, 2 others escaped. Nevertheless, the heathens persist in these practices."
Dennis turned to Jorski. "Last week you referred to the old woodland myth of Lord of the Wood. I remember a similar mythos in this land many years ago."
"It's an enduring myth," Jorski said, now emboldened. "I remember the same legend as a boy in the Rhineland. The Lord of the Wood is a Dionysian character, a deity of the woodlands and potentially destructive. The pagans celebrate dark rituals in the forest, paying homage to this god with animal sacrifices. I suspect they may even offer human sacrifices on occasion."
"Have either of you ever witnessed one of these ceremonies?" Legrand asked, gesturing with his empty wine glass. Both Jorski and Munt shook their heads but said nothing, and a silent tension crept into the room. "It might be instructive," mused Legrand as Jorski refilled his glass, "to observe the pagans at worship."
Munt stared evenly at Legrand. "My brother, why would you participate in such an abomination?"
"I don't mean to be an active participant, Brother Munt," replied Legrand. "But before you burn another hag, you might discover why you are burning them. The answer lies in the forest."
Munt reddened. "I wonder, Bruder Legrand, if you take me for a murderer."
Legrand stood and bowed low. "Forgive me, brother, I've insulted you. But my motive here is to understand these rituals. It is the old religion, no? The worship of nature, as practiced by the ancients. I agree with Dennis, evil inhabits this forest. The rituals practiced by the pagans may be the key to unlock the mystery of the Hidden Wood."
"The moon will be full in 2 days," answered Munt. "If you must bear witness, I know where the pagans will gather."
2 nights later, as the moon rose over Arnost, Munt led the Malachi deep into the woods. Cresting a hillock, they could see a copse of trees illumined by firelight.
Munt nodded towards the eerie glow. "I beg your leave, my brothers, I shall turn back here."
"Merci, brother," murmured Legrand.
As Munt left them, Dennis whispered, "We must be careful, Legrande, it seems the King of the Wood has a number of disciples."
People were now stirring among the trees within the flicker of the torchlit grove. The pagans eventually sat in a circle with torches spiked around a ring of trees. As the Malachi approached the grove, Kale glanced at the crowd, counting by tens. There were over 100 people gathered, and he recognized a few that he had seen in town. The Malachi quietly took their place within the grove, with Legrand and Kale sitting on one side of the circle, while Dennis moved to the opposite side. Within the center of the grove was a young girl of about 16, blonde and fair. She wore a plain white robe, and was crowned with a wreath of peach blossoms. To Kale, the girl seemed to be in a waking dream, unsure of her surroundings. Beside her stood a man dressed in a bison skin, and Kale could see that he was concealing a knife, which he kept partially hidden within the skin. The men around the circle murmured among themselves, many appraising the girl that stood before them. Legrand was as quiet as a grave. Kale sat in the darkness, listening to the sound of the wind in the trees. An hour passed, and Kale spent much of that time studying the girl, as the breeze played upon her hair and snapped her robe against her body. "She's a virgin," thought Kale, "and her life will end here." The man in the bison skin now knelt before her, muttering a dark prayer to some woodland god. A few minutes later, Kale felt a stir in the night air, and across the grove he could see Dennis gazing east, his hand dropping to his sword hilt. The man in the bison's skin now rose and gazed into the darkness. From his belt he withdrew a great hunting horn of brass and leather, and then blew a tremendous blast of primal force which echoed through the dark forest. The call of the horn brought immediate silence to the gathering, and Kale felt a deep disquiet within his soul. He now stared at the girl, his desire burning. He wanted to rape her inside the flaming grove, burying his seed deep within, giving up his celibacy, his salvation, if only to possess her. The man in the bison skin now took the girl by the wrist, and with a quick jab sliced open her palm. She flinched slightly, making no sound as he bled her hand into a wooden bowl. He then poured wine into the bowl, mixing it with the girl's blood. After this was done, he lifted the bowl and cried out with reverence.
"Welcome, my lord."
Out from the darkness of the trees he came, his shadow preceding him into the grove. Tall he was, well over 6 feet. Emerging under the torchlight, he was cloaked in wolf skin, his own flesh gleaming white underneath, and as he strode to the center of the circle, Kale could see his vulpine expression, his cruel mouth, his dark eyes that never blinked. Kale noticed Legrand making a subtle hand gesture to Dennis, yet he was transfixed by the appearance of the man before him. He was clearly Nosferatu, a terrible lord and master over these people. Who among them could deny him? The Nosferatu accepted the bowl from the man in the bison skin, who cowered before him. The Nosferatu drank, and the girl began to tremble. He then lowered the bowl, and with blood-stained lips shouted in mockery.
"Who shall challenge the Lord of the Wood?"
Legrand gripped Kale's forearm, keeping him close. The Nosferatu glanced at Kale and smiled. Across the grove, close to where Dennis sat, a young man in a leather jerkin rose, drawing his blade.
"I will challenge the King of the Wood," the young man said.
He was ruddy-faced with a sturdy build, yet the shakiness of his voice belied the threat of his reply. He looked no more than 18. "Not a challenge," thought Kale, "it is mere ritual. The young man is a sacrifice, like the girl." The Nosferatu nodded to the young challenger and passed the bowl back to the man in the bison skin. The challenger then took the bowl, and staring at the girl, drank the blood of the virgin. Then the Nosferatu drew his sword, a large and heavy blade. The two combatants moved closer. "It is murder, Legrand, to allow this," whispered Kale.
"Perhaps," answered Legrand, "yet we may learn from it."
The challenger was quick to charge the Nosferatu. He was strong and agile, but unrefined in swordsmanship, leading with his shoulder, clumsily shifting his weight before every sword thrust. The Nosferatu easily anticipated these attacks and seemed content to parry with the boy, biding his time. After a quick exchange, the Nosferatu ripped an expulsion attack against the boy's blade, knocking his sword to the ground. Then, with gentlemanly aplomb, the Lord of the Wood retreated a few steps and motioned for his opponent to pick up his weapon. After several more passes, the Nosferatu's interest seemed to wane, and as the young man attacked with a forward lunge, the Nosferatu countered with a stop thrust at the high line, impaling the boy's sword arm. The boy staggered back, dropping his sword, and the Lord of the Wood grabbed him by the neck and spun him around. Kale sensed the thrill of expectation in the crowd, the yearning for the kill. Their lord would not disappoint them. With a fistful of hair, the Nosferatu ripped the boy's head back, exposing the throat.
"Mercy, my lord, I'm your devout servant," cried the boy.
The Nosferatu smiled and whispered in his ear, sword pressed against the boy's jugular. Then a geyser of blood exploded from the boy's throat, and in that instant the boy seemed genuinely surprised as he choked on his last breath. The Nosferatu then held him, almost lovingly, as the boy's lifeblood sprayed the grove. Murmuring approval arose from the crowd as the Nosferatu swayed with the dying boy. A dark ballet, this ritual, thought Kale. Spilling blood in this hidden grove was a catharsis, a communion between nature and these pagans who worshipped her. The Nosferatu moved towards the girl, and she opened her arms to welcome him. The King of the Wood smiled as he stepped behind her, running his long fingers over her shoulders, then ripped the white gown from her body.
The girl now stood naked before them, her body soft and supple under the torchlight. Her mound of pubic hair was sparse and soft, and she arched her back into the embrace of her lord. He kissed her neck and cupped his hands around the fullness of her breasts.
She looked younger than Kale had first thought, perhaps only 13 or 14, and his lust for the girl turned to deep pity. She was pure and beautiful, an offering of youth and splendor to this dark lord.
Legrand recited a silent prayer, then rose to his feet. "Congratulations, my lord, you have killed a mere boy." The Nosferatu whirled to face Legrand, who was now moving in an arc around him.
Kale knew that Legrand was mentally mapping out the width of the grove.
"What a delightful performance," added Legrand, still moving. "But as I watched this exhibition, I thought Lord of the Wood is a rather fanciful title, isn't it? I began to think of a more appropriate title, one more fitting a nobleman like yourself. King of Rabbits? King of Cats? No. King of Rodents, that's it." Turning to the man in the bison skin, who looked at Legrand with disbelief, Legrand announced, "I will challenge the Rodent King."
Kale thought that Legrand was playing a very dangerous game. Legrand was a remarkable swordsman, no doubt, trained and blooded in the court of Avignon. But challenging the Nosferatu in this place was dangerous enough. To mock him and his cult in the middle of their blood ritual was fraught with peril.
With a penetrating gaze, the Nosferatu grinned at Legrand. "Have you brought some holy water, father?"
Legrand drew his sword, the cold steel reflecting the torchlight. "I have brought this, my lord."
The Nosferatu pushed the girl away and drew his weapon, while Legrand kept moving in a tight arc, making a complete sweep around the Nosferatu. The Nosferatu stood perfectly still and beckoned with his free hand, inviting a charge. Legrand then reversed his steps, traveling in a reverse arc, drawing closer to the Nosferatu. As the Nosferatu began to speak, Legrand attacked with sudden speed, and the clash of swords rang out as the Nosferatu met Legrand's attack. A fierce parry of ringing steel echoed through the grove, then Legrand withdrew, moving in his arc again, and with a slight flourish swung his blade overhead. This was a French custom, indicating a hit, and Kale looked closely at the Nosferatu. Slow, thick blood began to ooze from his pale chest. The crowd now saw the injury, and there was an undercurrent of fear and wonder among the people in the grove. The Nosferatu, injured and insulted, now glared at Legrand, who mimicked the hand gesture of his opponent, inviting a charge. The Nosferatu attacked with blood fury, his incisors bared in a murderous snarl. Legrand, aware of his opponent's superior strength, parried laterally to control his blade. The crowd was now moving around the circle, collectively gasping and cheering with each exchange. Legrand repelled and executed a lightning riposte, his blade a silver blur in the darkness, and the Nosferatu was now backpedaling, parrying desperately, his wolfskin being torn to shreds. After a brutal exchange, the two combatants broke off. The Nosferatu now stood in his sacrificial grove, his chest heaving and bleeding. He glared at the man who opposed him, and Kale thought that the Nosferatu's expression bore a hint of finality, as if a decision had been made. The Lord of the Wood now risked all, charging with a wild advance lunge. It was a tactical error, anticipated by Legrand, who sidestepped the charge and whipped his blade over as the Nosferatu rushed past, ripping a huge chunk of flesh off the shoulder. The Nosferatu staggered, his blade arm now limp, and Legrand backhanded him savagely with his free hand.
Down fell the Nosferatu, and a scream punctuated his fall. Legrand leaped quickly over him, sword high for a killing stroke. As the Nosferatu scrambled from the ground, Legrand landed a crushing blow to the back of the neck, driving him back down. The Nosferatu screamed as Legrand's sword bit into him, and that scream was dreadful to hear. The Nosferatu now staggered away, abandoning the battle, his hand on his neck, his wolfskin staining red as blood pumped out of the wound, and Legrand was merciless in his pursuit.
"Where are you going, Lord?" shouted Legrand, impaling the Nosferatu's right thigh.
The Nosferatu screamed again, dropping his sword and falling to his knees.
"On your belly, Lord of Vipers," Legrand said, ripping open his left thigh. Crawling now, the Nosferatu made for the edge of the grove, and Legrand walked behind him, swinging his blade triumphantly overhead. "Lord of Vermin, Lord of Worms, Lord of Carrion."
The Nosferatu finally reached an ancient oak, where he turned and sat to face his tormentor. The Lord of the Wood was now a bloody mess, crippled and defeated, yet the light of defiance was in his gaze.
"I will die now," the Nosferatu said, "but I foresee that death is near to you, priest. Your days are short." The Nosferatu then laughed, his teeth smeared with blood.
Legrand smiled in return, a cold smile, his eyes narrowing like twin diamonds, then drove a two-handed thrust into the heart of the Nosferatu, impaling him to the tree. The Nosferatu screamed again, a death roar that sounded more like a lion than anything human.
The crowd began to panic, as people began running blindly into the woods. Kale heard the girl wail, and as he turned he saw her pick up the sacrificial knife. Naked and feral, she bolted towards Legrand with knife in hand. Legrand, the girl! Kale yelled, chasing her.
Legrand, behind you, shouted Dennis, as he ran to intercept the girl.
With deep horror, Kale saw that the girl would get to Legrand first. He rushed an arrow into his hunting bow and aimed wildly, missing the girl and striking a pagan crossing the glade. Legrand turned as the girl pounced, and falling backward he caught the girl's forearm, twisting it down and away, breaking the bone as the knife fell away. Legrand flipped her over on her back as he ripped his sword from the Nosferatu, and now his blade was on her, poised for another death blow, and the girl shrieked.
Legrand, no, yelled Dennis, grabbing Legrand's sword arm and throwing him to the ground. Landing like a cat on all fours, Legrand sprang back to his feet, and Kale saw that Legrand's hand was badly bloodied.
Move away from her, Dennis, Legrand said, brandishing his sword.
Dennis stood over the girl and drew his blade. I will defend the girl, Legrand.
Don't draw your sword on me, old man, Legrand said, moving in his deadly arc again, this time around Dennis.
Drop your weapon, Legrand, shouted Kale, raising his bow. Evil has fallen upon you, brother. Legrand turned towards Kale, then back to Dennis, as if trying to remember who they were. He then fell to his knees and dropped his sword. Peace, my brothers, Legrand said, raising his bloodied hand. My rage has overthrown me.
Dennis lowered his blade. It is an evil place, Legrand. Look at us, weapons drawn against each other.
Kale turned to the girl, who was whimpering near the Nosferatu as his black blood boiled on the ground. Kale wrapped his cloak around the girl and led her back across the grove. Her arm is broken, Kale announced in a shaky voice. We should bring her back to town, perhaps Jorski knows where she lives. Just then the girl broke and ran, and Kale started to give chase.
Let her go, Legrand said.
In the few hours before dawn, the Malachi buried the young challenger, as Dennis prayed for the soul of the pagan. Kale beheaded the Nosferatu. Then they built a small pyre of dead limbs and leaves in the middle of the grove. With the rising of the sun, Dennis performed the rite of exorcism as the Malachi burned the body of the Lord of the Wood.